Hello and welcome to Utecast, episode 56. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you once again, recording live here in the Sound Lab at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. It's nice to be with you on this beautiful Thursday. It is winter time here in this part of the world. It doesn't feel like it, though, here in San Francisco. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's not exactly warm, but it is not cold. It is not at all cold, and it's a lovely day. So we are going to start this lovely day with a poem, as we start every day with a poem. And we're going to be talking about soft skills, the idea of soft skills today. And that phrase, soft skills, made me think of a really foundational work for me in my career as a poet, which is the eminent Canadian poet Lisa Robertson has a book called Occasional Work and Seven Walks from the Office for Soft Architecture. And soft architecture is, of course, a less familiar phrase than soft skills. And the book is these sort of lyrical essays that look at different ways that different kinds of soft materials shape space. And so I'm going to start here with just the first long paragraph from the second walk, and it goes like this. Habitually, we walked in the park late afternoons. Slowly, the park revealed to us the newness deep within banality. This was the city where the site oozed through its historical carapace to become a paradoxical ornament. In this way, the emblem of the park could appear anywhere on our daily routes, insinuating itself deviously within the hairline cracks in Capitol, as we ourselves were apt to do. Amidst persistently creeping foliage, we would tease out wiry angers and saccharine tenderness mixed, in this manner both flaunting and secreting our souls. In any case, we were radically inseparable from the context we disturbed. It was as if everything we encountered had become some sort of 19th century, this long century that encroached so splendidly on much of July. We would lean on its transparent balustrade, rhythmically adjusting our muted apparel, waiting somewhat randomly to achieve the warmth of an idea. But you should not assume that my guide and I were entirely idle. Waiting was many-roomed and structured and moody, and we measured, then catalogued each of its mobile affects. We dawdled morosely in the corners of waiting, resenting our own randomness. Or we garnered our inherent insouciance toward the more subtle sediments of passivity. But it is hard to make the remarkable faults in a spiritual diorama. Only slowly did contrary dreamings appear. Only slowly did we come to see our own strolling as a layered emergency. We recognized that we were the outmoded remainders of a class that produced its own mirage so expertly that its temporal disappearance went unnoticed. We found ourselves repeatedly original. The diva, the waves, the hotel, aroma of apples, these were structures in us. How like lyric we had been. Here, then, was the warmth, here the awaited idea. We were equally maligned and arrogant, performing our tired doggeries against a sky inlaid with phrases. We were of the lyric class. I love these essays. They are themselves of the lyric class, which is to say that they explore not just language, but ideas quite beautifully. This one goes on for another, seven pages, eight pages. the entire book, and it's a small book physically, although quite a dense one, as you can tell from that first paragraph, is well worth a spin if you are a person who enjoys engaging with questions of the aesthetic, if you work in the fields of design, architecture, certainly if you are a writer or a poet. Lisa Robertson and this book in particular will have a lot to say to you. One time in a past life, I was an editor and publisher of a poetry journal called With Plus Stand. And With Plus Stand, or With Stand as it was sometimes colloquially known, in one of its issues had a an issue entirely focused on the work of Lisa Robertson, and we invited poets to engage with her as a writer and as a thinker, and it was a selection of poems and essays on her work, and we had one of my favorite poetry events I have ever produced, maybe my single favorite, but certainly up there, was a release party for that magazine at Urban Ore in Berkeley. And if any of you have ever been to Urban Ore in Berkeley, you will appreciate what an interesting setting it must have been and was for a poetry reading. It's sort of like a warehouse full of housing parts. So all kinds of doors and windows and bed knobs and broomsticks and all kinds of different materials that you might use in a house, all of which are used. So these are all used materials that have found their way to Urban Ore, and people who are doing remodels of their homes will come and sort of pick through and find, you know, just the perfect set of windows that match the year their home was built or whatever it might be. It's a really otherworldly and fantastical landscape, one that is itself quite aesthetically compelling. And they never do public events, or at the time they never did. And somehow I convinced the manager to let us have this wonderful poetry reading there, which we did, and a really fun event. And Lisa Robertson herself was there down from Canada and read along with these other folks who were engaging with her work. So lots of warm feelings about Lisa Robertson and the Office for Soft Architecture. And with that, we're going to pivot on the word soft. I've encountered over the past week or so an article that's been swirling around in social networks that was initially written up as a sort of blog post for the Washington Post's education section. It's a post that fits sort of within a genre of journalism that's been very present in social networks, I would say, especially so in the last 15 years, that kind of is, could be broadly categorized as how to get a job at famous tech company X. Often there's an element of surprise intended to animate such pieces, like, you know, they don't exclusively hire for coding skills, for example. And I have been surprised at how frequently the same truths get trotted out to whirl around Facebook and surprise everyone anew, but perhaps that's just a commentary on the collective attention span, or maybe on our collective fascination with places like Facebook and Google and other workplaces. In any case, the core of the news this time is that it comes from a 2013 self-assessment Google did of its personnel data. And I think it's unfortunate that this article doesn't tell us whether this assessment of personnel data looked at all or did any kind of critical engagement with demographics and diversities, given how substantial those questions and issues have been in Silicon Valley in the past couple of years, and certainly given how much attention has been paid to just equity in the workplace over the last year or so. But in any case, here's a paragraph just to give you a flavor of what is in the article. Pardon my phone dinging in the background there. In 2013, Google decided to test its hiring hypothesis by crunching every bit and byte of hiring, firing, and promotion data accumulated since the company's incorporation in 1998. This was called Project Oxygen, and it shocked everyone by concluding that among the eight most important qualities of Google's top employees, STEM expertise comes in dead last. The seven top characteristics of success at Google are all soft skills: being a good coach, communicating and listening well, possessing insights into others, including others with different values and points of view, having empathy toward and being supportive of one's colleagues, being a good critical thinker and problem solver, and being able to make connections across complex ideas. Now, this article posits that the findings of this study shocked everyone, although I think it would be my contention that this is in fact not at all shocking and that we've all seen a variation on this theme at this point. The imagined aha moment that educators will have is that we should be teaching ethical behavior, critical thinking, and collaborative engagement. And, this is old news here at Brandeis, and I think old news among many educators across the country, but from a systemic perspective, certainly in the public school system, it remains a slow process, and those are some necessary changes. This past weekend, I saw examples of our students being good coaches, communicators, and empathic problem solvers at the there was a Jewish day school basketball tournament that was a newly organized event this past weekend. And I have to say, our teams ran roughshod over the competition in the friendliest, most supportive way possible. I saw numerous examples of our students helping other kids up, encouraging kids on other teams, not reacting in anger when other kids did sort of lash out at them. They were both the best basketball teams on the courts and the kindest kids in the gym. And that was very affirming of the work we do here at Brandeis and of the kinds of soft skills that we are preparing our kids with. But my curiosity in running across this piece is actually the origin and I would say therefore to some extent the meaning of the term soft skills. Like many figures of speech, we use it habitually and assume a shared meaning without interrogating our own sense of that shared understanding. Generally, we'd all agree that soft skills encompass the types of communication and interpersonal skills that make a person easy to work with. But why do we call them soft? I've Googled around on this question, and I have not come up with a satisfactory answer. The Wikipedia article, for example, attributes it to a 1972 military conference and a paper that somebody gave at that conference. But the conference was already on the topic of soft skills, so clearly the term predates the event. So this is me crowdsourcing the question of soft skills to the Brandeis community and the broader Udcast listenership. I am very curious about the origin story for soft skills. If you have an idea about where it might have come from, please email me, because I think there's a statement that needs to be made out there about the degree to which it is not surprising that soft skills are so important. But if I am going to make such a statement, I want to understand just what we mean when we call them soft. So send me a note, dglass@sfbrandeis.org. I am very curious and I'd love to know more. Thank you for your help with that. And I wish you all weekends filled with all the skills, my friends, not just the soft ones. Enjoy the Super Bowl if you are the Super Bowl watching type. And a Shabbat Shalom to everyone listening on Shabbat. We will be back with you with a special guest on the Yudcast next week.